that God is doing something in this world that we live in. God is moving all human history towards this one culminating point. And I trust you understand what that is. You see, our God deserves the worship of the peoples of the world, of all nations. And so we're reminded of where he's moving human history. And we're reminded this morning that his desire for us is for us to align our hearts to his. And here's where God is taking things. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 through 10 says this: "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" The goal is worship of our great God. And for there to be people from every tribe and tongue and nation who are a part of that great chorus that will resound to his praise forever and ever, we can't just measure our success based on our seating capacity. No, the success of the church is not just measured by her seating capacity, but by her sending capacity. And so it is bittersweet when people are sent out from the body of Christ on the mission of Christ. And this morning we experience some of that bittersweetness, don't we? I mean, as a faith family, to in some sense lose Dr. Jeff Fairchild and his wife Misty is a bittersweet moment because of how faithful that they've been here and how well they've loved us and how well they've loved this community. But we know, they know that God is calling them and he's sending them out. And so in that bittersweet moment, as their faith family and as some of their family who's here today, we weep and we rejoice. You guys probably know Jeff and Misty well. You'll see a map of Honduras behind me after you look at their picture, yeah? If you're not familiar with where Honduras is, they're in Central America. Of course, to the north, you've got Mexico, the United States, Canada. To the south, you've got South America. We'll see more details about what they're going to be doing in Honduras, but I want to give you a visual there. And yeah, you can look at the picture of their family. And I want you to be praying for them throughout the service. In a moment, you'll hear Jeff preach the word to us. But before he preaches, I want to give you just a glimpse into their lives, into their heart, through this video. And after this video is done, Jeff, would you come and preach the word to us this morning? I get to have a lot of conversations with people as the pastor of Christ Fellowship. And so this is just going to be you sitting in on a Christ Fellowship conversation. So I'm here in the Fairchild home in Gadsden, Alabama. Tell us what has brought you to the place of selling your business. Even the home we're in right now is on the market.
We began going to Honduras probably 15 years ago. We were never really into missions, and in 2001, I had a guy at my church ask me if I wanted to go. Well, my wife was 8 months pregnant at the time. She was fixing to have a baby at the exact same time as our trip to Honduras, and so I did not go. And I tell people that I really thought that would be the end of it. But the same time next year, he came back and he asked me again, "Jeff, we need you to go. We need a dentist on this trip." And I went. And when I went, I got to observe two men in particular, but really a whole body of men that were on that trip that were truly devoted to Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. And that really changed my life. And at that point, we really became more serious about our Christian lives. And all of that led up to the Lord putting me on the board of this organization, which led to us getting more involved in the people of Honduras. And we began talking about instituting a discipleship program where, you know, we're going to focus more on having somebody follow up all of these teams. And it was at that point where we started laying out a framework for that position that I knew the Lord had said, Jeff, that's for you.
Misty, I know you've been a nurse for years. You've been teaching at one of the local high schools and even coaching golf. And you're leaving those things behind to join your husband there in Honduras to serve Christ among the people there. Give us your perspective on some of the work that God has called you to do there in Honduras.
I think it's funny, just adding to what he said, because I'd say 10 years ago, he asked me and we began to talk about the fact that we felt like we were both being called to full-time missions. We both had regularly taken short-term trips, sometimes 2 and 3 weeks out of a year. And so he asked if we would consider going to learn Spanish. So that process took maybe 4 or 5 years where we just tried to further our education and learn the Spanish language to the best that we could through our local high schools. And so I think it's funny because we knew that this was coming for a long time. And then he was studying the book of Acts and studying the book of Romans intently to try to write out a job description for this new person as a board member. And then one morning we were just having coffee at the kitchen table and he just looked at me and he said, hey, I've been trying to write this out, but truth is, this is us. This is us. And so I knew it would happen one day and I didn't know when.
Well, one passage of scripture that comes to mind in relationship to you guys is 2 Corinthians chapter 8, which says that Jesus, though he was rich, he became poor, so that through his poverty we might become rich. Rich spiritually, rich in the Lord, and rich in the eternal riches of Christ and his kingdom. And so you guys have been one of the most, if not the most, generous couple, family that I've ever known and that I ever met. And I know Christ's fellowship has been blessed through that generosity. I know people from all over the world who've moved to Gadsden have been blessed through that generosity. And I know now the people in Honduras will be blessed with that generosity and in ways that we could never even imagine. So again, love you guys. Thank y'all for your time and this conversation. And I hope it blesses those who hear.
Morning. 2 weeks ago, I stood up at White Springs Baptist Church and I got up on stage, or before I got up on stage, I was at home and I was trying to get my shirt tucked in, and I could not get my shirt tucked in, and I could not figure it out. And so I got to church and I still couldn't get it tucked in. And then people started coming up and they started talking to me, and I just totally lost track of the whole thing, and before I knew it, I was on stage, and after it was over, people shaking hands, and I'm standing down there in the front, and this lady walks up, and she says, Jeff, your shirt's buttoned backwards. I had button number 2 and hole number 1, and my shirt was sitting like this, and I stood there for 45 minutes, and nobody said a word to me about it. Today, polo. Just want you to know. Let's pray real quick. Dear Father, you have a message this morning, Lord, that you want me to say. Father, it is one that you have given, and Lord, I trust that. Lord, I pray that as I prepared, Father, that you will allow that message to come forth this morning, Father. It is meant for me. It is meant for my wife, but it is also meant for someone else this morning, Lord. Give me peace. Give me the knowledge that you are with me through this, and Father, with you, we can do it. Lord, it's in your name I pray. Amen. I don't know if my wife has had an opportunity yet to look at the topic. We're talking about marriage. She has been asking me all week long, what are we going to talk about? What are we going to talk about? And I kept saying, I don't know. Y'all forgive me for lying, but I wanted it to be a surprise. So this morning, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to go all the way back to Genesis. If y'all remember from Genesis, I got 5 days of creation. And after every single day, God said, and it was good. On day six, we have sort of a split thing. We have the creation of the animals that are going to walk on the earth. And God said, this too is good. Then we get to the part where we have man. And so I'm going to read these verses. Did you set that up? Okay. Well, perfect. Genesis 1:26. Is that it? Then God made the beast of the earth. I better just read. Made the beast of the earth according to their kinds, and their livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And then God said this in verse 26, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock over all the earth and every creature that creeps on the earth. So I'm just realizing what the problem is. I need these. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. I need you to know that this was, when it says our image, in our likeness, this is God coming together, and as a unit, they are saying, we are not complete. After 6 days of creation, the crowning part was man. And it was through man that the whole plan would be laid out for salvation. And you need to know that man was made in God's image by a multitude of, well, I won't say a multitude, but by a trinity of people coming together, or a trinity of God coming together for creation. He created them. So what was man's job? Man's job was to be the image of Christ. You need to know that God is to represent the image of Christ to all mankind, to all of his creation. That's what he was supposed to do. He was to be the image of God to the world. When no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground. And a mist was going up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed the man of the dust from the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man that he had formed. You need to know this, that in the representation of the image of God, God put him in a special place. Now, the whole earth was good. He could have put him anywhere. But God said, I'm not going to put him anywhere. I am going to put him in a place specifically prepared for him. So when you look at this place, he was made from the dust of the ground somewhere, but he was placed where God wanted him to be. Y'all with me? So when we look at this story, he is created to be the representation of Christ. He is the image of Christ, but he is placed where God specifically wants him to be. So for me, as I'm sitting here and I'm reading this story, I need y'all to understand that this is what is going off in my brain. God has created me to be his image. And he has placed me not where I was formed, but where he wants me to be. He also gave him a purpose. If you read in the middle of that thing, it says this. If I flip the page. It says, there was no man to work the ground. So not only is he to be the image, and not only is he supposed to have a specific place, but he is also to have a specific purpose. God created him to work the ground in that place. Y'all following that? That's also important to me, because as I go through all this, I'm sitting here understanding God wants me to go out and represent him. He has put me where he wants me to be, right? And then he says, I have a job that is specific for you. I created you to do that job. I have put you in this special place, and I have given you this special job. Now go and bear my image. Where's the marriage party? It's coming. Don't pass out. Then a pause in the action. I can't really explain. Well, I guess I can. Genesis 2:19 says this. So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the heavens, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was his name. The man gave names to all livestock, to the birds of the heavens, and to every beast of the field. But through all of this, there was not found a helper fit for him. See, God's got a plan for us. For us. And though he has said, Jeff, I've created you to bear my image, and I'm putting you in this place, and I'm telling you what the work is, you cannot do it alone. You can't do it alone. So I am making somebody special. Somebody special just for you. Somebody that's going to feel everything that you are not. Somebody that's going to come together with you, and y'all are going to be one. Y'all are going to be a team. And together, you're going to be far greater than you would ever have been just you. Whew. But before all that happens, he names the animals. And I'm just going to tell you, I could not help but think about this. Why would he let the animals be named before he made the woman? And I came up with the answer on my own. I have three children. We named all three of them. They only had one day, right? There's only one day to name all these animals. And if the woman got involved, I'm sorry. Oh, mercy. Oh, okay. Genesis 2:21 says this. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. While he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with the flesh. Now I'm going to fire back at the guys here. Did you notice? While he slept, God made the woman. It's interesting, isn't it? I don't know about y'all, but for me, I had ideas of what my wife was going to be like, right? I had thoughts. Well, she may be blonde, or she may be brunette, or she may have blue eyes, or she may have green eyes, or she may be skinny or whatever. She may be smart, right? And I have all these things going through my mind. But in the perfectness of the moment, God said, Adam, you're not going to be involved in this. Go to sleep. And when you wake up, that perfect person that I made just for you, she'll be standing there. Whew. For singles in this church, for single folks, is that the way you're doing it? Is that the way that you're doing it? Are you trusting completely that God knows what's best for you? When you're making your plans, when you're drawing out your description of your spouse, are you thinking about a lot of things that are superficial and never really contemplating, I need to leave this up to the guy that knows all? See, he's got a special place. He's got a special work. And he's going to make a special person. But that person will only be perfect if God does the matchmaking. So what do I trust? I trust as I go on this journey to this special place to do this special work, I trust that the one I'm going with is the perfect one that God gave me. Do I want to go with any other woman on earth? No. There is no other one that I would want to go with. Because if I go with anybody else, it will not be perfect. Y'all understand this? Y'all see why I didn't tell her all this stuff ahead of time? We were in an office this week. Me and Derek, we were sitting and we saw a sign on the wall. You remember what it said? It said this from Exodus 14:14, the Lord will fight for you. You only have to be silent. How does that bear in this? The Lord will find that person for you. You only have to not bring in your stuff to the equation. And he'll provide. He will provide what is perfect. And the two of them shall become one flesh. And as soon as they saw each other, they looked. And she said this to him. Did you really call that thing a hippopotamus? Sorry. My humor is, I don't know, man. I like it sometimes, but y'all be done. But Jeff, God was involved in that. See, God took that rib from him. God made that. That's not really how it works out there today. Right? Genesis 24. Y'all got that one. Isaac had a son, or Abraham had a son. His name was Isaac. He said, I want my son to have a godly wife, right? So he tells his servant, he says, I want you to go and I want you to find a godly wife. And it says here in 24:10, then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed. Taking all sorts of choice gifts from the master, he arose and went to Mesopotamia in the city of Nahor. And he made the camels kneel down outside the city by the wall. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today. I'm going to read that again. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today. You hear it? Where did he go? Singles, where did he go? He went to God, didn't he? And he says, I'm only going to find the right one if I start this with God. Y'all following? It has to start with God. So it says, behold, I'm standing by the spring of the water. Let the young woman to whom I shall say, please let down your jar that I may drink, and who shall say, drink, and I will water your camels, let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. Can you see it all unraveling? This is God's plan. This is God's way of doing things. If I want to find the perfect spouse, I start with him. I go to him and I say, Lord, how am I going to find this woman? And God's going to say, I'm going to find her for you. You only have to be still. You only have to be still. See, the thing is, I can't do this. And I've understood it for years now. We too are so different. And you may think, how can two people be so different and yet know that that is the one? And yet know that that is the one. Romans 12 says this, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. See, if we're going to work together, why would I want somebody to be just like me? The two are going to come together. The two are going to become one. But once they come together, the gifts are going to be shared amongst both. Just over the last 2 weeks, she's called every doctor, every lawyer, every banker, financial dude, insurance dude, everybody under the sun. You know why? Because if she's waiting on me to do it, it ain't happening. That ain't me. And God knew that. He said, that's not Jeff, and I don't need Jeff to have another Jeff. I need Jeff to have somebody that's going to complete him. You don't understand. It's critical. We can't be separated. Last thing I'll tell you this, or one of the last things I'll tell you this. 1 Corinthians 12 says this, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. I can't go alone. And I wouldn't want to go alone. Because if I don't have her, if I don't have the perfect person that God gave me to go out and do the perfect work in the perfect place that He designed me to do, it will fail. It is all according to God's plan. We are two that have become one. And as that one, the big one, we'll be successful, won't we? I believe it. I have no doubts about it. One last equation to this. One last piece. God has done His part. Right? He gave us the place. He gave us the occupation. He gave us each other. But the one thing where we come into play is, are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? See, at the end of the day, He can do all that He is supposed to do for you. He can provide everything you need to do the work in the place that He's called you to do. But at the end of the day, you must decide, am I going to go? Am I going to believe? Am I going to trust that God can use me? It takes what I like to call a resolved mindset. You can't go into it thinking, well, I'll go unless something else comes up. We were sitting there. I've had so many people try to do so many nice things for us. We had a Honduras party two nights ago, and we were talking to somebody that had been before, and they were saying things like, boy, I can't wait. One day I'm going to go back. One day I'm going to go back. And my buddy looks over at me and he says, man, if I had a dollar for every time I had somebody say, one day, I'm going to do it. You know the problem with the one day attitude is? It never comes. It never comes. You must be resolved. You must understand that God has a purpose, but it is totally dependent on you to get out there and accomplish what God has said for you to do. It takes resolution and it takes devotion. I cannot think of any better story in the Bible to show this. And I look for Bible stories that talked about marriage. And this one's not about a married couple, but you can't help but look at the story and see that it is. It's about faithfulness. Ruth chapter 1, verse 6. She arose with her daughters-in-law. I guess let me go back and tell you this. Ruth has gone with her husband Elimelech and her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. They have left Bethlehem and they have traveled to Moab because there's a famine in the land. When they get there, her husband dies. Then her two sons marry two women named Ruth and Orpah. Okay, and then those two sons die. So now I have a lady and her two daughter-in-laws together. At this point, God now undoes the famine in Israel, and she says this. Then she arose with her daughter-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was. Again, applying to me, right? With her two daughter-in-laws, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-laws, go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them. They lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, no, we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. And then she goes through a lot of other things. Finally, she says this. No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So we got two choices there, don't we? We got two people, both faced with the same decision. Do I follow? Will I be faithful? What will I do? They both loved her. Orpah kissed her, right? They both said the right things. But what do we find? Only one went. Y'all understand that? It is about resolve. It is about devotion. When that call comes, do you talk about it? Do you make all the right stuff? Or do you say all the right things? But then when the moment of truth comes, do you say, bye? God gave me somebody that didn't tell me bye. Y'all ever thought about how many calls to missions or how many calls to teach a Sunday school class or go out to some community in your place gets shut down by us? God made you. He gave you the ability. He prepared a place for you. He gave you a job to do. But He didn't make you go. You have to decide that. Misty, when we talked at that breakfast table that morning, tears flowed. But her resolution, her resolve was not in question. One of my favorite verses in the whole Bible is this right here. Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go." How do I know that marriage is two become one? Do you say that? Would you say it? If the call comes, would your resolve be, we're one, I will not separate. Where you go, I will go. I need you to know this. She was a Moabite. A Moabite going to Israel. Israelites weren't really fond of Moabites. You know what I would have worried if I'd have been her? Will they accept me? I'm going to look different than them. I'm going to act different than them. My culture is going to be different than them. My religion in this case is going to be different from them. My standard of living, it's going to be way different with them. Test your resolve, doesn't it? It tests your resolve. Would you say, I'll go? Where you go, I will go. I know all these things, Jeff, before we leave. But where you go, I'll go. I will lodge where you lodge. You know what I don't know right now? Where am I going to lodge? I'm going to have a place. I'm going to have a central place. But you know what I'm asking her? You're going into the unknown. We may sleep under the stars. We may sleep in a school. We may sleep in a church. We may sleep in somebody's house. We may sleep in a truck. I ain't got the foggiest. You know what she says? I'll go. I'll go. Your people shall be my people. Your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. Takes you back till death do us part, doesn't it? I will stay with you. I will stay with you. No matter what. Till the end. Because we are one. Almost done, fellas. So what happens to Ruth? This is where it gets good, right? She goes and she meets a guy named Boaz, right? Boaz accepts her as he is. They end up getting married. What happens? Anybody know what happens from that family? It's pretty special. Great grandparent of David, King David. Down from David, who do we find? Jesus Christ. Could you have afforded not to go? With all the options, with all the stuff, would you ever have thought about not going, knowing that this is God's work? You see, the amazing thing about God's work is it's amazing to be a part of. You will see things and encounter things that you have never seen before. Derek, I got one more story, okay? Y'all bear with me. I'm in Honduras. We are on a what we call goof off day down there. We've already worked, okay? We stop at a river that's got a waterfall. At the waterfall is a zip line thing. This zip line thing goes across the waterfall, back across the river about four times. I can't wait to get on this thing. As we're standing in line to get on this thing, a bullet falls from the sky. Y'all think I'm making this up? A bullet falls from the sky. It hits the guy that is leading the hooking up part. I don't know what you call that guy, but he's the guy that hooks you up. He falls to the ground. We got medical folks there. They treat him. All right? We bandage him up. And I'm looking. And we have preachers. And so, Derek, what's the obvious thing that I do? This thing is teed up. Somebody talk to this guy about Jesus Christ. It's right there. But you know what happens? The preachers watch them bandage up and walk off. Derek, I couldn't. I grab this guy, we go and we sit at a table and we talk for about 40 minutes. And he tells me all the reasons that he ain't a Christian, that he couldn't be a Christian because of all the sin in his life. To which I respond that God saved us while we were sinners. Right? While we were yet sinners. God will take you as you are. To which you could see the expression on his face change as he accepted that knowledge and became a Christian that day. I'll never forget, I had a Bible in a bag in the back of a Mack truck that had 500 boxes and bags in it, and we popped that door open looking for that Bible. There it was, the first bag in the back. Misty, you remember? We grab the Bible, don't we? We go back and we give it to that man. And we say, hallelujah. Do you know what happens if I don't hit that airplane? I miss it all. I miss it all. You think about what you're going to leave behind. With the exception of family and friends, right? I don't care about anything else that I leave behind. Because what I know I'm going to find there in walking with God is going to be far better than anything I leave behind. Y'all understand this? I'm not a sentimental dude. Y'all buy flowers and stuff like that. I'm ashamed, but that's not me. You know, I love my wife. But today, that is for the greatest woman that I've ever been around. That is for the woman that God made me for this. And I'm proud to have her. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that years ago you made me pray this. Lord, when the call comes, don't let me say no. Let me be ready. Let me be eager. Let me be willing, Father, because I want to be where you are. Lord, I pray that this message has touched somebody. Father, may it change the way that we view you. May it change the way that we view your business. May we see each other involved in your business as image bearers of Christ. Father, you want us to be out there doing your business. And I pray, Father, that you will walk with us. Lord, I pray for my family. I pray that you watch over them over the next week in particular, because this will be a tough time. Lord, I love them. And Lord, I just pray that you will be with them. And it's in your name I pray, Father. Amen.
Amen. I trust you've seen a picture of the beauty of marriage. And I trust that you've seen that marriage, even in of itself, is not ultimate. That all of us have a maker. And all of us have a Messiah, who is the Christ, as Jeff spoke about. And the purpose of marriage is the Messiah. It is Christ. The purpose of ministry and mission is the Messiah, is the Christ. And none of those things are ultimate, and yet God gives them all as good gifts for the sake of the Messiah, our Maker's praise forever. And so there may be some in this room who've never turned from your sin. You've never turned from your sin. You've never acknowledged your sin before God, turned from it, and put your trust in Jesus, His perfect life. The Messiah, Jesus, His death in your place and His resurrection and victory over sin, death, and hell. I would invite